Well, on behalf of the Haggard family, welcome. So glad you guys could make it to support and love them in this time. Today we're celebrating the life of Gary Haggard, father, grandpa, and friend. We celebrate, but we also grieve, right? The Bible tells us that Gary's death is actually his gain. Yet for now, it is our loss. We're sorrowful that he has exited this life and left a void that has been created in his absence. But we are not those who grieve without hope, right? Because we know that Gary put his faith in Jesus Christ for his salvation. We know that he is alive right now more than he ever was on this earth. We know that his dementia is gone. We know that he's no longer shuffling along, but he's running and dancing, skipping in the presence of the Lord. We know, too, I think, that he's experiencing more colors than we have on this earth. He was a man who loved colors. And we know that he is in the loving company of the saints from Genesis to the year 2025. The Haggards were sharing earlier this week, the one thing he loved every week was come to church. And y'all all saw him out in, 100-degree weather, scarf, earmuffs, visiting with anybody and everybody, because he loved people. And now he is in the presence of the saints from eternity past. What a sweet thought. We know that he's experiencing eternal life, life to the fullest with Jesus, his creator and sustainer. And we know that for those of us who have put our faith in Christ, that we will see him again. And that is a sweet promise. So would you join me in prayer? Father, you are the God of all comfort. May we find peace and strength in you as we grieve the loss of Gary. God, we thank you for the assurance that his soul is eternally secured with you. Thank you for the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us to have a relationship with you in this life and forevermore. And Lord, as we remember Gary's life today, we pray that you would be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Easter. I was caregiver for Gary since he came in February 2021. And then I got to pull along my other two fellow caregivers that we used to work together with other clients. But Gary was by far my favorite. I could be tired. It didn't matter. When I go over there, I left with more joy, more energy. he just was such a blessing and such a joy. And I loved, he just so playful. And whenever I wore this shirt, sometimes he always had to compliment. So I wore this for him today. And the American flag. So I wore my little red, white, and blue. But he loved. You'll get his story soon after this, but I just want to say how he could just light up, he just made me so joyful, so happy to be there, and I'll share more before the next song. But would you guys like to join me in singing "Great Is Thy Faithfulness"?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been,
For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9.
Thank you all for coming today. Gary Keith Haggart, he was born to Ed and Margaret Haggart June 26th of 1938. That was in Glendale, California. And Gary and his brother Ed were raised in Southern California, first in Van Nuys and North Hollywood, and then most of his life in Santa Clarita when he went to live with his father. So he was an animal lover and told numerous stories of his hamster raising business. you've heard it. His pet dog named Captain, and the many animals that his dad had on his properties. There's even a story of them having either a bobcat or a mountain lion. I really wish I had that story down straight. He graduated from Hart High School in 1956, and a few years after high school, he joined the Army for 3 years of service from 1960 to 1963, spending a year as service stationed in Greenland. So he told stories of his practical jokes in the 24-hour darkness that only worked with the analog clocks of the time, and how his unfortunate fall in the snow found the only exposed rock on the entire island, requiring stitches on his backside. So he attended Biola University and earned a certificate in finance, and he worked in banking for a couple of years, and then as a financial analyst for Sun Oil Company for most of his career. Throughout the 1960s, he participated in numerous weightlifting competitions, and fitness was a priority ever since. He met his wife Arlene in 1965, and they were married in 1966. That's when he had me in 1971, and his daughter Elaine in 1976. When his walk with Christ began is unclear. But he did keep the Bible that he was given to him in the Army. He was a deacon at his church, First Baptist Church of San Fernando, from 1966 to 1978. And then we started attending a church that was closer to where we lived. He was the kind of dad that he coached all my youth sports teams. Later attended, all my high school games, as well as attended all his daughter's dance recitals and her games as well. Going through his things, I found a large stack of programs from possibly every game he ever attended of mine. He liked to goof around with silly sayings, rhyming and dances, throwing in one-liners wherever he could. He would get down on the floor to wrestle with us, throw us around, and bench press us. Coaching those late, cool evenings and flag football practices, he would put cotton balls in his ears to protect from those cold Southern California evenings. And this was the first sign of the signature earmuffs later to come. And this aversion to cold ears could probably have stemmed from his time in Greenland. He faithfully continued weightlifting for quite some time. He had a disciplined regimen of working out in our garage home gym that he had assembled. Even after he came to live here in Tucson with us, he still had exercise routines with hand grippers and resistance bands that he would do seated in his room. His discipline could have had two possible sources, his military service or his OCD. As a kid, I didn't have an explanation for it, but he had some strange habits. One was that he took about 2 minutes to check that the door was locked every Sunday before we left for church, and eventually ended up breaking the doorknob. So in his early 50s, he was laid off from his financial analyst job and transitioned into business consulting. His real goal was to help people. He always loved people. He loved talking with all his extended family at family events, interested in everything they were up to. He would also often come home telling stories of the people he met at the grocery store, the bank, the post office, everywhere he had routines to regularly go. His goal of helping people didn't necessarily translate to a successful business, because to be honest, it was more of an early retirement with a hobby of helping people veiled as a business. Also around the same time, in his early 50s, he sustained an abdominal injury that limited his mobility. And the resulting struggle lifting his legs led to early health struggles and his shuffle of a walk. He had a heart attack at the age of 72. He was glad to have survived it and have lived longer than his father, who had died of a heart attack at 68. He struggled with health issues as well as dementia until he could no longer stay in California and came to live with us here in Tucson in early 2021 when he was 83 years old. We were blessed to find a team of caretakers, Stephanie, Carol, and Hola. They faithfully took care of him every day, and he sure looked forward to seeing them as well. We were blessed to have them. It's common for some people with dementia to be angry or unpredictable, but he stayed sweet. The combination of his OCD and dementia led to some interesting events, as he would come up with new routines as he had forgotten what the previous one was. This resulted in plenty of quirky habits. The only times he would seem stubborn is if we tried to buck some of his routines a bit too much, as crazy as some of them might have been. He was a constant note-taker, trying to remember what he could. We found notes on napkins and paper towels all over, with notes of what time he ate, his blood pressure readings, or an interesting advertisement from the radio that he thought he should remember. Even if with his dementia, though, he didn't... He didn't lose his love for people. Church was the highlight of his week. He would ask every Saturday night if we're still leaving at 8:30 tomorrow. Wheeling him in his wheelchair, he thought he was on parade. He waved and said hi to everyone he passed. He didn't want to miss anyone in case he did actually know them and couldn't remember. So we loved that many people would stop by just to say hi to Gary, and he loved it. My dad. He loved talking to everyone he could. He rarely could remember anyone's names, but he always had a complimentary name to go with it instead. Right? The beautiful dress lady, the colorful shirt man, the long hair lady. He wanted to know how tall you were and tell you that you were just keeping taller every time he saw you. He especially looked forward to spending time talking with Peter at church as well. And of course, if he could see Stephanie sing at church, that made it even better. At home, he loved seeing us and the kids. He would sweetly compliment us and tell us he loved us every time he came home for his 28 laps of walking from front door to back door before his meal. He was always sweet, but he couldn't remember that those compliments were the same exact ones that he gave us last time for over 4 years. He would always see us walking by his door on the way to the garage and yell, "I love you." He usually didn't even get a chance to see who it was, but he knew it was someone in our house, so he wanted to let us know, even if it was the same person going back into the garage 20 seconds later. He wasn't perfect over the years. None of us are. But he knew that his source of righteousness was only found in the death and resurrection of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can be assured that for him, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we are here to celebrate him being able to go home with him. What will be remembered are his sweetness and joy, his love for the Lord, his love for people, as well as earmuffs and scarf in the Tucson summers. So he wanted to be buried, and he will be at the Veterans Cemetery in Sierra Vista. And it's only fitting that he will be buried in his earmuff and scarf.
As you can see, I'm a crier, so I'm going to do my best to get through this so you can understand me. Whew. Hello, I'm Elaine Haggart, Gary's daughter. Thank you for coming to celebrate Gary's life. He would have loved seeing all of you and talking to each and every one of you today. He must have touched you in some way for you to be here. If you knew him personally, I'm sorry for your loss too. If you didn't know him, and you're here to support a member of the Haggart family, he indirectly touched you by being a part of them, and thank you for your support. Gary was known by many names and titles. Some are Gary, with two R's, as he always liked to point out. Grandpa, brother, son, husband, and friend. The one that I call him is the best, and that's Dad. Being a dad encompasses many things: a lesson teacher, disciplinarian, friend, One who gives his child unconditional love and freedom to explore oneself and the world without judging, showing kindness, and holds his children dearly in his heart. My dad was all of those things. He also was silly, loved sports, music, and reading. In fact, there was a time when we used to watch wrestling on TV, and there was a wrestling manager named Captain Lou Albano. He had a very long beard with lots of rubber bands in it. At the time, my dad had a long beard too. So I had an idea. Why not put rubber bands in it? I asked him for permission, as a good child would do. And the next thing I knew, I was putting rubber bands in his beard and taking pictures. He kept it that way all day. When it came to music, he liked all styles. He heard a song on the radio one day and decided he wanted to write a song. So we wrote one together. It was a silly song, but we were serious about it. I even choreographed a dance to it. It never made the charts, but it holds the record for the most number of weeks at number one in my book. I can hear him singing it now. Do the billy bop, do the billy bop bop. The last memory I'll share is when I was very little. I loved putting my feet on top of his as he walked or danced. He never refused my request for this, and I loved to do this a lot. This may be where I got my love of dance. If it is, thank you, Dad. And I'll always be dancing for you and with you. Again, thank you for being here and being a part of my dad's life. Your presence honors his memory. Dad, your life was a blessing, your memory a treasure. As you always said, God bless you, and I love you.
I first just want to say thank you all so much for coming. It means so much to me and my family. My grandpa meant so much to me, and he was never one to say anything negative about anyone, ever. Anytime he saw us, he would always have something nice to say, even if it was something simple like, I like your shirt, or you have beautiful hair, and it always made me smile. Anytime one of us passed his door, to get to the garage, which was at least 5 times a day, he would be watching and yell, I love you, to us. He was such a special grandpa, filled with so much love and joy, and brought so much happiness into my life with all of his attempted rhymes and one-liner jokes that made sense about half of the time, and the stories that he would tell so well as if he had them written down. He always wore a scarf and earmuffs, no matter the weather, and he often wore sunglasses inside and out, no matter the brightness, just because that's who he was. I would anytime be able to go into his room and sit in a chair by his bedside and talk to him about whatever was going on in his or my life. I would always leave feeling a little bit better and with a couple of new jokes I had never heard before. Anyone new he would meet, he would ask for their names and take at least 5 tries to get it right. And then he would put their name into a short song and loudly sing it to them. He was his own person and never tried to be anybody else. I learned that from him, and not to care what anybody else thinks about me, and just to keep being myself and to not let anyone else change me, because he never did. Weird was not in his dictionary. He loved all of us very much, and I will never forget the positive impact he left on everyone he met and the way he could make me smile. One of my favorite things about him was his love of music. Anytime I would walk by his room and hear his I love you, I would also hear a random genre of music. He loved all music, no matter what it was. One time, my mom had gone into his room to Eminem playing on his Google speaker.
And she asked him, "Gary, do you like the music that's playing?" And he said, "Yes, absolutely, don't change it." And he would often have his little speaker to play a radio station or ask it what the temperature was outside, which he did all of the time. So one day on April Fool's, I unplugged his speaker to see what he would do. And he continued to yell, "Hey Google, hey Google," over and over for about 5 minutes until I came in and plugged it in and told him about the prank I played on him. And then we both just laughed. Grandpa was way more than a grandpa to me. He was my friend who I could always goof around with anytime, and he would be up for it. I will miss him deeply and always remember the positive impact he left on me and everyone around him.
So most of you may know me, but I'm Stacy, the daughter-in-law. Gary, who I mostly called Grandpa, lived with us for the past 4.5 years. He came to us the day before Valentine's Day during COVID. At a time of year when most women are thinking of flowers and chocolates, I received a very different sort of gift, the kind with fuzzy earmuffs and slippers. He rolled into our home that day with a gruff, demanding and grumpy demeanor. The excitement that the kids had felt about having Grandpa live with us was quickly burst, as Grandpa had a hard time being gentle and sweet while his body was in lots of discomfort. That first month was grueling as we attempted to care for his many needs alone, and he was not pleasant to work with. God was faithful in the midst of our struggle. We knew that he had called us to care for him, and he had even provided a home that was perfectly suited for Grandpa's needs, no stairs, and a perfect room for him. At just the right moment, God led us to our team of caregivers who have been God's hands and feet to minister to Gary and our family. These three women, Holla, Carol, and Stephanie, have been the picture of faithfulness and patience as they cared for Grandpa every evening and several mornings a week. Over time, as Grandpa's needs were met and he was cared for so patiently by our beautiful team, the grumpiness subsided and was no longer a quality that defined him. We were blessed to see God's work in Grandpa as he transformed into a sweetheart who always had a smile and a compliment for anyone he talked to. Life with Grandpa had its challenges, and he wasn't always easygoing if his OCD routines were disrupted, but it truly has been a blessing to have him with us for his last chapter. I will continue to thank God for bringing us such a beautiful gift that showed me his ability to transform ashes into beauty and proved that he provides for any role that he calls us to. Our God is a waymaker, a provider, a loving and present father, and above all, a pursuer of our souls. I was blessed to get a special day with Grandpa in the hospital while he was still able to talk and have clarity. It was a day that I will always treasure. I was able to ask him if he was afraid of dying, especially since he always said that he was going to live to be 120. His answer was an emphatic no. He said that he knew he was going to be with Jesus and that all he was afraid of was not being here to see all that his children and grandchildren would be doing. He absolutely loved his kids and grandkids. His heart beat for Jesus and his family. Even with his dementia and inability to remember most people outside of his family, he always knew Jesus as his Savior. He truly never leaves us or forsakes us. Grandpa was a quirky man with OCD and dementia, not always a pleasant combination. He had many, many obsessive routines, which ranged from hilarious to frustrating. Other than the trademark scarf, earmuffs, and jacket in all seasons, he was an avid fan of paper towels. I frequently joked with him that he was single-handedly responsible for the deforestation of North America. To which he would just shrug and continue on. He recorded meticulous notes throughout each day detailing what he ate, what when he brushed his teeth, etc. No matter how many times I offered him paper for his note-taking, he continued to take all his notes on paper towels, which would litter his bed and be tucked in his shirt between the buttons in his and in his pockets daily. He always had at least one roll with him at all times, and I even discovered a cardboard paper towel roll, the empty paper towel roll, zipped into his pillowcase when I was at the ER with him. And when I asked, "What is this?" he said, "Don't take it, I need it." He loved his birds and talking to everyone. Anytime a friend or neighbor would come over, a new voice in the house, he would shuffle out to the living room to meet them. He was unable to remember names for long, but always tried to make rhymes with their names and gave them an honorary title like the Hat Man or the Hair Lady. He was so sweet to all the nurses and staff at the hospital when they would come in to care for him. He wanted to know their names and how tall they were. He sang their names loudly and enjoyed making them smile. He truly had shed his grumpy grandpa shell and became much more of the man God desired of him. I will miss his loud shuffle throughout the house when he would walk his 2,800 feet from front door to back door three times a day. I will miss his prayers for our family and how much he loved the chaos and noise in our home. He never once complained that it was too loud. Maybe that's another benefit of those earmuffs. He was always happy to see us and thanked us often for his meals and all we were doing. He was so positive and sweet to us. I loved his childlike excitement over a treat macaron or banana cream pudding. He got very excited for these treats that he always claimed were delicious and nutritious. We never tried to correct him on that one. He will be missed, but we celebrate today that Grandpa is truly home. We can rejoice knowing that our God is faithful and did a wonderful work in Gary before bringing him home to eternal joy with our Savior. Until we see him again in heaven, I will be grateful for the time that we had with this quirky gift from God wrapped in earmuffs.
Father, that's my father-in-law. Boy, and look at these things. Oh, 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 oh. If they come in the house here, we'll go, whoa, whoa. Whoa. And this says, no, no. It just says, no. I am your father. Okay. 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 Okay.
Okay. Pretty cool.
Okay. And I hope we don't run into these two.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
All right. I have a vanilla macaron for you.
I couldn't live in that. I need a fork.
I didn't get one for you. Hold on.
So tell me about the macarons again.
If you give me about 10 of those a day, I'd be healthy. I'd be going forward. I'd be alive.
Nice. Well, hopefully you'll be able to eat macarons again.
Yeah. I hope so. Because they are really, really, really good.
this next song, His Eye is on the Sparrow, because of his two birds in the room. And I'd always hum or sing to them, and then they would go quiet, and they'd listen, and they'd start falling asleep. And also that he always would say, you know, the most important thing for a child to know is that they are loved. I loved that thing about him, and just in the chorus, you know, I sing because I'm happy. That, you know, I think of him, and finally, if he happened to be alone when I came there, if you guys were out or something, and I would say, oh, are you the only one here? You're all by yourself? And he said, I'm never alone. The Lord Jesus and God are always with me. And so I think about that with this, his eyes on the sparrow. I know he watches me.
Should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I see my doubt and fear, though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Well, if Gary was to somehow manifest right here, perfect health, you know, I wonder what he might say to us. And I think when we look at Scripture, we can come to a few conclusions. I think one thing Gary would say is that he has seen the face of Jesus, and he can't get over it, right? He would explain that he has experienced all that has been promised to God's children. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." in an incredible sacred moment, when Gary took his last breath on this earth, he saw the radiant, welcoming face of Jesus, the creator of the universe, the savior of his soul. And because he saw Jesus' face, he became like him. In this world, Gary's sin had been forgiven through the blood of Christ, but in an instant, he became sinless, just like Jesus. He's not able to sin anymore. In this world, he had been given the imputed righteousness of Christ, but upon his death, righteousness has become the air he breathes. Not only that, but he has been freed from the limitations of our earthly bodies. No more illness, no more pain, no more walker, wheelchair. And when Jesus returns, we have the promise that Christ will transform his lowly body to be made like his glorious body, as Paul says in Philippians 3. I think another thing that Gary would tell us is that heaven is real. It's hard for us to comprehend the reality of something we can't see or touch. But Gary would probably tell us that what the Apostle Paul did in 2 Corinthians 4:18, the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. He believed that by faith on this earth, and now his faith has become sight. Gary's living the real. He's living the eternal. In his book, A View from the Hearse, Joseph Bailey, he says this: I cannot prove the existence of heaven. I accept it by faith, on the authority of Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. For that matter, if I were a twin in the womb, I doubt that I could prove the existence of earth to my mate. He would probably object to the idea of an earth beyond the womb. He would think that was ridiculous, that the womb was the only earth we'd ever know. And if I tried to explain that earthlings live in a greatly expanded environment and breathe air, he would become even more skeptical. After all, a fetus lives in water. Who could imagine being able to live in a universe of air? To him, such a transition would seem impossible. It would take a birth to prove the existence of earth to a fetus. A little pain, a dark tunnel, a gasp of air, and then the wide world. Green grass, colors, lakes, the ocean, with enough room that you don't have to shove, and then a universe beyond. And so early Monday morning, when Gary passed through the dark tunnel into the light, he found far more than a mere universe beyond. And what he has now experienced makes the dark, watery womb a fit picture for our earthly experience. He's moved from black and white to color. Right? Gary now realizes what C.S. Lewis told us at the end of the Chronicles of Narnia. After all the adventures and the joy that the kids had experienced, C.S. Lewis says that was just the title page. Now, at last, Gary's beginning to live in chapter one of the great story. And C.S. Lewis says, it's a story in which no one has ever read, which goes on for forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Gary wouldn't want to come back even if he could, except maybe to tell us how great it's going to be, how much we should center our lives on Christ now. I think another thing that Gary would say is that he would affirm to us that the gospel is our only hope. The reason that the gospel is our only hope is that we are so horrendously sinful. And this is why Jesus did the most difficult thing that he could ever have done in all of time or eternity. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the prospect of taking our sin and experiencing the wrath of God was so horrific that Mark tells us that he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And so he said to his disciples, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And then going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. And so in love, Jesus laid his life down for us. He did the Father's will by dying a humiliating and awful death on the cross. And while on the cross, the sky went dark for 3 hours. And during that time, Jesus took on our sin and he bore the fiery wrath of God. He became a curse for us, Galatians 3 says. And Jesus did this willingly so that he could welcome Gary into eternity with him, so that he could welcome us one day into eternity with him, so that he could declare our sins forgiven and paid in full. And so if Gary was standing here today, he would tell us that Jesus did the most difficult thing for us in all of eternity. And that means that right now he is committed to forgiving you as you turn from your sins. Gary would urge us to embrace the gospel message because nothing else is sweeter. And because the gospel message, we are adopted into the family of God. When we put our faith in Christ, Romans 8 makes it clear that we are adopted into his families. We are an heir of the Lord and we are co-heirs with Christ. Gary would stand before us and say, I am a co-heir with Jesus, the creator of the universe. Mind-boggling thought for us. But in The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis said that if we could see Gary right now, our impulse would be to worship him. Gary is now perfect morally, mentally, physically. He is sharing in the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What an incredibly awesome reality Gary is experiencing right now. And maybe the last thing that Gary would tell us is that life on this earth is short. He'd remind us of Psalm 102:11. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. Or Psalm 90, verse 10. The years of our life are 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Not too long ago, Gary was a young boy, running and laughing, playing around. Then he blinked, and he was married. He blinked again, and he had kids. He blinked again, and he had grandkids. Then he blinked one more time, and he saw Jesus' face. So perhaps Gary would urge us, don't waste your life. For we only have one life. And it'll soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Gary's life on this earth. You are a good, sovereign, and faithful God. And I ask that you would provide peace and comfort that surpasses all understanding for the Haggarts and the friends and family in this room right now. And Father, we thank you for the assurance of our salvation in Christ, for the reality of heaven and all that we have to look forward to as believers. And so, Lord, may the reality of who you are and your salvation give us great strength to run our race in this life well. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Haggard family, know that you are loved. And we are here for you guys. I wanted to close with a couple verses. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. We have a great hope because we have a great Savior. And so at this time, I'm going to invite you guys to move to the back because we're going to close with a benediction here. And we can form a line to greet and love on the Haggard family and then move on to some treats and some macarons, which I understand was a request of Gary before he passed away. So, and I'd also invite you, there's a guest book back there. Make sure you sign that if you haven't yet. But the Haggart family invites you to stay in fellowship, all right? There's no rushing getting out of here. So again, thank you guys for being here. If you would stand for the benediction. It's on the back of the bulletin, the program. It's from number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Good Father, it's who you are.